Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho, ho.
Welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. I'm scared.
I'm scaring him.
And I'm also scared.
I thought something had gone wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought you'd spotted like a small fire or something.
I'm just full of post-Christmas joy.
Oh, right.
The decorations are still
on. That's what that is, isn't it?
The clothes are still on because it's not the 6th of January yet.
Which is
when
the rule.
Take them down, apparently.
Otherwise, you have to go to prison.
Yeah.
You'd be summarily executed. How was your Christmas?
Dunno.
Good.
Probably good.
Best Christmas of my life.
Best Christmas of your life. Brilliant. We're not recording this in advance. We are recording this in advance.
Yeah.
The current date is the 20th of December,
mm-hmm.
but this podcast is going out over the period where we're off for Christmas and New Year. Well, you're not. You're in for a bit, aren't you?
Just one day.
So this is the podcast for them, because we didn't want to deprive you of any content. Of course, we have our wonderful podcast producers who deserve a shout out. And so that's why we're here. But because we don't know what the news is going to be ahead of time, we've sort of we're doing what we did last year, which is borrowing from our bonus Patreon After Dark podcast. And we've got a hat right here, a Rules Boss hat. You might recognize it if you're watching the video. Full of gaming related questions. After Dark is non-gaming, but these are full of gaming related questions. And we're going to just answer some sort of personal anecdote-y things.
Yeah, most of them are what we used to do with the lots of anecdotal stuff of like, which video game character would you invite
To tea,
et cetera, et cetera. So lots of quick fire ones. So we're going to get through as many of these as we can in the next 90...
Hour. Next 90 hours.
We'll
so
see
if
how
this
it goes.
Week, you know, there's been some enormous story about how the GTA 7 trailer has leaked or something.
Sorry about that. We're full of figgy pudding.
And we
won't go until we've got some more.
Even more.
But there we are. Let's crack on with the podcast, shall we? We, of course, need to talk about our sponsor.
Mm.
Now, sponsors are a bit thin on the ground this time of year because everyone is obviously at home and enjoying time with their family. But I believe, Ashton, did you manage to source one?
Yes,
for this week?
I have one. It's kind of like one that everyone's going to know about because it's only coming in... It was coming in 2 days. It'll be here in 2 days at time of release. So that's very exciting. This year's kind of been the year of like doing something again, you know, rebooting a franchise or remastering some stuff that's not actually that old. So coming from Naughty Dog is 2023 Remastered.
Okay.
It's coming in
1st of January,
2024. We get to do it again. Objectively, this year has probably been the least problematic year in terms of, well, actually, that's not true. Mm. There's a lot going on this year.
Yeah.
So hopefully within the remaster,
they'll fix a lot of
the humanitarian issues we've been having this year.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, no COVID. Well, no massive waves of COVID, at least. It's still hanging around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that'll be gone when they patch it in 2024.
Or there might be extra content. Maybe there'll be a swine flu thing.
Why would you manifest that now?
Don't know.
That's not really...
Problem is, on many occasions, we have said stuff in videos and on podcasts, and then it has come true. So if there is now swine flu in the next year or two, that is my fault.
That's your fault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm personally hoping for a roguelike mode. that they might add
or
on.
Or we just do the same day over and
just
over
Groundhog
again.
Day over and over. Yeah.
I mean, we are going to be doing the whole year again, and that's exciting. Yeah, I mean, this is not going to, this is going to be feeding the trolls a bit, isn't it? They're like, bloody Naughty Dog working on another remaster.
Why do they have to, this 2023 came out less than a year ago. Why are you remastering
it? The dust hasn't even settled yet. Mm.
Yeah. But it's actually, it's not real. Oh, 2024 is, thank God, its own brand new year.
It's a new year.
Hopefully new things will happen. I almost said it's been a great year for us personally, but then I was like, actually, it's not been a very good year for me, so I don't actually want to live this year again. So I was like, let's not say that either. So 2024,
I think you said that at the end of last year, didn't you?
But this year was worse. This year was worse. It kicked off bad. It stayed bad for at least the first 6 months and then finally started to pick up again towards the end of the year. So hopefully I'm on this upward
trend. Yeah, I hope so,
Ashton. It could only get better from here.
I hope we get to the end and you say, balance, good year.
Yeah, last year I said, hopefully next year will be a year where I can say I've had a good year.
Well, our years have been better to have you in it, Ashton.
They have.
So
thank you.
So our years were good for that reason.
And your year would have been even worse if you not had us in it.
That's so true. Could you imagine?
That would have been terrible.
Yeah.
No, we're not sponsored by 2023 Remastered. We are, of course, sponsored by Dead Island 2 The Spider. Are you here today?
He's gone home for Christmas.
He's home for Christmas.
On holiday for Christmas.
By wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you support us there, you get access to a whole load of different rewards, including asking questions on this podcast. Maybe you could have had a question in this hat. You will get early access to worst games, weirdest games. You get exclusive access to episodes of Main Menu, Rules Boss, a new episode of Rules Boss coming really soon.
Yeah, next week,
it?
I think.
On the Patreon, and there are other tiers available as well with other rewards. You know, maybe it's time to check out what the fuss is all
about. New year, new patron.
Exactly.
Do you think Dead Island 2 the Spider going home for Christmas, do you think he's in your toilet with all of those babies? You think they've all come together for a nice dinner?
That would be so nice. Yeah. Of flies.
Yeah.
Lots of flies.
Yum.
Stuffed fly.
I hope they don't all come back because there was flipping loads of them.
Yeah.
And they were tiny when they left and they'll be much bigger now. Mm-hmm. So...
good.
Yeah.
Dead Island 2 The Spiders.
Yeah.
Our website is triplejump. That's triplejump. There you can find links to everything that we do. You can find our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord. If you want a cameo message from any of us, you can get that there. triplejumpshop.com. I'm going to take a huge swing.
Oh my God.
At this point. There might be new merch available now.
Possibly.
We have been waiting on samples of our new merch for like 3 weeks now. We need to chase that up.
Thing is, even if we have, if the new merch is available, we won't have been able to shoot a trailer for it.
No, we won't. No. We're really running out of road here. Either way, triplejumpshop.com. Prepare yourselves.
New merch.
There's either new merch right now or new merch is coming really soon.
Yeah.
Because it's done. We just need to look at it and go, yes, that's printed well.
And we can guarantee Christmas delivery 2024.
Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
We absolutely can. Once again, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Now, just because we're not in the office doesn't mean there's not loads of stuff happening right now. Firstly, of course, if you celebrate it, we hope you had a very fantastic Christmas this Monday just gone.
Or a happy Hanukkah.
Or a happy Hanukkah, precisely. Whatever it is you celebrate, we hope you're having a lovely, peaceful period.
Merry atheism.
Currently.
Happy Kwanzaa. That's around Christmas time as well, isn't it?
I believe so. I'm afraid to say that I'm very ignorant
Merry
to know
holiday.
Which one it is. Yeah, merry holiday to you.
You ruined Christmas.
We had lists going out all this week. We did our annual 10 best of 2023, 10 worst of 2023, and 10 most disappointing games of 2023.
Oh.
Mostly negative, a little bit of positive there as well.
I got to do the positive one this year. That's nice.
Yeah.
It was good. I was like, lots of good games this year. And I didn't think of a single bad thing the whole time.
Lovely.
It was lovely.
While us boys were being toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they tend to track better. So,
yeah, they do. People like the negativity.
It's true.
They really do. There was a video that went out yesterday.
Yes. Triple Jump isn't changing 2023.
Or is it?
Well, we'll see. Maybe in 2024 it might, but no, probably not. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So you can go and watch our annual thank you-a-thon, where we say nice things about all the people who have helped us through the year and mention anything that has changed this year or maybe will be changing next year. There's a tiny little change happening. Don't worry.
What is it?
It's not a bad one.
You'll have to go watch the whole video to find out.
Yeah. You've been busy over the Christmas period, haven't you?
I certainly have.
Yes.
I'm so tired because yesterday I did a full day of streaming and hopefully finished WWE 2K20's rubbish My Career
What time
mode.
Are you starting?
9:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's at least 10 hours long, that career mode. So I thought I'll get started because then maybe I'll be able to just have some day left to relax. Mm. But I'm doing that in aid of Far Place Animal Shelter, which is a no-kill animal charity. They have charity shops all over the Northeast and quite a few over the country as well. They're a great charity and they are where I got my cat from. Oh. So I wanted to raise money for them. So if you're in a position to give, there will be information. In fact, I think the redirect triplejmp/charity should still be working. Mm. So you can go there and check that out.
You might still be streaming.
Oh,
this goes out
well
on the Saturday
not.
After.
I really
you could still
hope
be going.
Not. I don't want that.
Check the Twitch. You might still be going.
No, don't want it.
We've got a big ranked video coming out on New Year's Day. So when you're a little bit hungover, a little bit worse for wear, you can stay horizontal and listen to these two rank every Pokemon first gen from worst to best.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them.
151 of them.
Oof.
How long's the video, Peter?
3 hours long.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours and 58 minutes or something, I think.
A really... Do you reckon we could add some stuff in just to pad it so it gets over the 3 hour mark? What could we do?
Add an extra one in there. Cheeky fake one.
Just do a few...
between a few
of the entries.
Some deep sighs.
We've already added one fake one in there. Well, it's not fake.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real.
But
do you reckon if you added a fake one in, anyone would notice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd hear about it. We would hear
especially
about it.
Especially given that the list would start number 152.
Yeah.
That would be, what?
Hey, hang on now. Yeah, this has been a long time coming, I feel. And there's no way that anyone is going to be thrilled by the ranking of their favorite Pokemon. But we hope you enjoy the video nonetheless.
Well, especially because we rank them based on like stats as well as like
cultural
design and cultural significance and stuff. So like the top five, there's like at least one really weird one in there that you would just not expect. It's not like a bad Pokemon, but you're like, why is that there? Mm. What's that doing there?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoy it and find it educational. We liked putting it together
and
for you.
And hey, if you hated it, put it in the comments because every little bit of engagement tells YouTube you liked it. So if you didn't like where your Pokemon was, tell us anyway.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Where you would have ranked it.
We deliberately put yours at 140.
Boo, rubbish Pokemon.
Yeah. Next week, we are doing our Game of the Year podcast where us three and maybe also James.
I believe so. James Jenkins.
We'll go through our top five games of the year and our most anticipated. But you can get involved. If you head over to the Patreon now, if you are a patron, you can vote on the suggested games and whoever the top five of those will get talked about. And we might even read out your opinion if your game gets in the top five. Mm-hmm. Also, tell us what game you are most anticipating because we'd love to talk about that as well.
Absolutely.
Also, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, also that as well. There. Yeah.
A couple of days' time. Well, tomorrow, I suppose, is New Year's Eve, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Happy New Year to everyone, all of the Walrus Clan listening to this that have been listening to our podcast this year. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've just passed a big milestone as well. Episode 250 was last week. So, thank you to some of you have been listening to. Well, all of them. You've listened since the very beginning. So thank you. It's incredible that we're still doing this, breaking into our new, what is it, our next 250?
Yeah.
There's no mathematical word for that, is there?
No.
No.
Half a millennium.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sort of, no.
Doesn't matter. Happy New Year to all of you.
But not only thank you to everyone who's watched and supported, but thank you specifically.
Yes.
Segue to the podcast producers. Ben, what's a podcast producer?
A podcast producer is someone who goes to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, supports us at the appropriate tier and guarantees a shout out every single podcast because they're so generous and they are a patron of the arts and they can put that on their CV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you can do
patron
that.
Patron of the PA. You can put that after your name.
Peter Austin.
Peter, that's what I put. Peter Austin PA. PA stands for Peter Austin.
Yeah.
They're very there's a very generous bunch of people who've done that, Peter, just like
G.Y. Goliath.
Nicole Hansen.
Duncan Wilson.
Katie Garrod.
Eric Siu.
Potato Shack 99.
Chris or Chip or Chris Thompson's Thumbs.
Melody Albonet.
Nexus Polaris.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Blake Thomas.
Janet
Wicks. Great Giggity.
And Shaman Nomo.
Lovely.
Thank you so
podcast producers.
Right, it's time to go into the hat and
Peter,
answer some
bloody
questions.
Peter, would you like to get one out first?
I'd love to get one out, if I may.
Do
Thank
it.
You. I've got one.
Okay.
Congratulations.
It's from Robert Golding, who says, what gaming trend needs to be left in 2023?
Mm. Easy. Don't know if it's a trend, really, but live service games.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah. They don't work.
I was going to say, there have been some pleasant rumblings in the past few months from a couple of big companies saying, we're not really sure about doing live service anymore, which is nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for live service to be left in 2023. I don't think it will be. There's definitely going to be some people who just run it into the ground for several more years at the very least. But
think of the shareholders, guys.
Indeed.
I don't care about the shareholders.
What? How?
I don't care about them.
I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. Indefensible position there. You've got to love the shareholders.
Certainly what I wouldn't like to see is anyone taking up the live service model in 2024 who companies who aren't yet using it. Yeah. So, for example, Naughty Dog nearly did, and now they're saying they won't, and that's good, if you ask me.
Yes.
Hopefully there won't be more people saying, like, we're going to try live service this year. I think it's going to be a great idea.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Any other trends you want to see binned off?
Yes. Super premium pre-orders, getting access to a game a week early. That's weird and stupid, and it doesn't seem fair, and you just get loads of leaks and spoilers, and it's a really stupid way to incentivize people buying a more expensive version. Yeah. I don't like it. It doesn't make sense. And while we're talking about it, premium editions, right, that cost like flipping 90 quid, Ubisoft, and they're digital only.
They don't have a disc.
Yeah. And you don't get a disc, you don't get a little statue, you don't get an art book, you get like a skin for your assassin.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
Stop it, get some help.
Enough of that. Stop that now, please.
Any trend you'd like to see binned off?
I would like to see more use of terminology like ability cooldowns or single use scrolls rather than cards. Why are you calling them cards? Why are you building a deck? What do you mean?
Love deck building.
This is just my ability hotbar. And they have a cooldown on them, or they're single use, and you just spend them in your inventory. That's what they are. Stop saying that it's a deck. It's not.
It's a card system.
No, it's not.
It's a multifaceted card system.
I am a knight trying to save somebody or the world from a dragon. I'm not carrying a flipping deck around with me. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I
have one other one, and I might be a bit controversial.
Okay.
I would like people to stop making roguelites and roguelikes.
I was actually...
Just for a bit.
I was actually thinking that, but I couldn't... I just felt... Yeah.
People do them really good. And if it's the whole basis of your game, like Hades, and Hades 2 I know is meant to be coming out next year, that's great. But just because you can doesn't mean you should.
God of War.
Yeah.
The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that, I just don't think we need it. I think we've moved past the need for flipping roguelites in, games that don't necessarily, haven't always been a roguelike.
Mm.
And just because you got a DLC, you can't just tack on a roguelike and tell me to enjoy myself. Because I'm not going to, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. God of War Valhalla.
This is why I didn't say it, because I think in defense of it, they're meant to actually be, in those instances, I can't speak for Tiny Tina, but in the instances of the Sony exclusives, I've actually heard very good things about them. But I agree in the sense that that is not what I want from those games, and that is not what I play those games for. No, I just want the story stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I feel like I've missed out on a lot of the God of War, Ragnarok, Valhalla stuff. It's been regurgitated to me by my boyfriend because I watched him play it and I thought, no, I don't want to play a roguelike. Mm. I don't want to do stupid pick which card you want. Sorry.
What?
Pick which ability you want. I don't want to do that. That's not what I like. I play God of War because I can run around, do puzzles and kill things. I don't want to be forced to do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So don't sue me.
I'm inclined to agree. I've played a couple of roguelites, and I've said before that it's not my favorite genre. But I was surprised by the games themselves and actually ended up enjoying the games. But I do think it's a genre that a lot of major franchises and publishers are just sort of cashing in on.
Yeah.
And this is not, I know how complicated it is to make a game, right? It's really bloody hard. This is not diminishing the efforts of the developers, but it does feel a bit like a shortcut to just generating almost endless content for your game. And that's not great. I'm not a fan of that.
I agree.
You know what trend I want to see end? Just gaming.
You done?
Let's just stop it.
You just check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to all this like negativity we've got. We clearly hate games. Why don't we just cancel?
Hey, we might get a positive question next.
No, we might. Yeah. No.
I've won.
Yeah.
And it's not negative. Okay. Andrew Austin Worthy. That is two first names and a surname, I guess. Still two first names. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bap. What was your most played game of 2023 according to your PlayStation wrap-up? Oh. Personally, my most played game was Power Wash Simulator. I regret nothing, as you should not. Power Wash Simulator, flipping slaps.
Oh, man.
Mine was quite surprising, actually.
I don't celebrate, so I didn't even look. But
I don't celebrate.
Mine was probably either Spider-Man or Resident Evil, maybe, because I played that quite a lot.
I need to try and find my.
Wasn't
now.
Yours on the Twitter, or did you send it to someone? Is that what you're looking?
I put my. It said, "Oh, you've got the year off to like you started the year off with a splash, and it
you
was Garfield Kart Furious
games,
Racing."
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, mine was quite surprising, and I also realized that from my Wrapped for PlayStation that I actually didn't play that many games on my PlayStation this year. I think I definitely spent a lot more time either playing games on Xbox Game Pass or on PC this year, mm-hmm. Which I was quite surprised about because normally PlayStation is like my main source of, you know, games. Mm-hmm. But I was quite surprised by how few hours, and it wasn't a tiny amount, like I still played quite a lot of it. But yeah, I definitely played a lot more on other things this year that I didn't even realize quite how much I had.
Yeah, that's good. Diversify. Yeah. I did play a lot more Switch this year with Zelda and stuff, and I've been playing a lot of Xbox too. I've now played 135 games. A lot of them are jumping food games though for platinum trophies.
Right.
So let's not overstate how much it says that I've played. I think it's probably it's my most played game is Diablo 4. 93 hours, which was 10% of my playtime, just because I mean, I felt like I was talking about it at least in some way every week for months because mm-hmm. it was just constantly churning in the background. You found yours? Next for me was Persona 3 Portable, 88 hours. WWE 2K23 was 69 hours. Final Fantasy 16, 65 hours. And then it was Star Wars Jedi Survivor hours.
Surprisingly, my most played game this year was Horizon Forbidden West. I put 48 hours into that.
Nice.
Then I had Jedi Survivor. God, that game was good. And
I'm really sorry you didn't
have 47 hours with that.
Yeah, mine won't have been that because I literally, as I've said several times on podcasts, that I just had to beeline for the end because I was like, the longer I hang around, the more likely I am to encounter more crashes. So I'm sure that won't be mine. It must be Spider-Man or...
Well, Spider-Man's not even on my top five. Assassin's Creed, the Ezio collection for 34 hours, then Chia for 32 hours, and then Spiritfarer Farewell Edition for 30 hours.
Oh, you cried for 30 hours.
I'm surprised
you got that
much
out of Chia. I thought it was quite a
well,
like small,
I did everything,
bite-sized. Oh, okay.
To be fair, so, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. You can platinum Spider-Man in like 20...
Yeah.
5 hours. Kind
yeah,
of, so
true.
Just
yeah.
Not
maybe,
quite
maybe Spider-Man
squeaked
be
in. Yeah. But even so, as long as I played those games for, I still defend the duration of Spider-Man. In that it did not outstay its welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was quite happy with how much there was to do. So,
yeah.
Excellent. Well, there we are.
Bonk.
You okay?
Yeah.
You smack your hand.
I just hit my hand between my phone and the table.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Right. I've got the hat. Let's get a question.
I'm surprised that I spent 48 hours because that must have just been mainly. Oh, did I play the game again? I don't think I did. Or maybe I did, actually.
Mm.
And DLC. I'm just quite surprised that Horizon Forbidden West was my number one game of the year.
Yeah.
Clearly, I could have played more than I thought.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's a nice one.
Yeah.
It's no Garfield Cup.
No,
know.
Of course.
True.
Rock Reese asks, are there any devs or games you resent that you used to love? I've resented Naughty Dog since Uncharted 4 for no longer making fun-centric games. So before it was cool to hate on them. Jesus, Rock Reese.
That's probably my favorite Uncharted.
Uncharted 4 is spectacular.
Yeah,
I love it.
Any games, devs or games that we resent?
I don't resent any game.
No.
Or develop. I feel like that's too strong a term. But BioWare, certainly I've fallen out of love with.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be like one of my favorites, but their downfall has been very widely publicized. Mm. So that would probably be my pick.
Very much this is about me and not about anyone else. I would maybe say that I resent the fact that FromSoft have done such a good job popularizing the Soulsborne genre, yeah. which has now crept into far more sort of mainstream stuff. And, you know, you do get, you know, like in the Star Wars Jedi games, for example, like that is clearly inspired heavily by those games. And I very much appreciate that those sorts of games are popular and enjoyed by a certain type of gamer. And
losers.
Always, yeah, losers is the, you know, it's the polite term. And that's what they're always looking forward to the next one. And that's great. But, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, and I'm happy to separate those worlds and say, hey, you guys go enjoy your thing. I'll go enjoy my thing. That's great. And then when I want to play a Star Wars game and, you know, it's got like hard bosses in it and I have to like put it on story mode, which I would have done anyway, to be honest, let's face it, because I don't have time. But, you know, having to do like carefully timed attacks and navigate complex maps and things like that, like, I don't want that. I just want like a more, almost like a more Naughty Dog style Star Wars game, for example. That would be a lot more fun for me. But then, you know, other people probably like maybe got into the Star Wars Jedi games for the first time because of the gameplay. Maybe they thought, oh, that actually sounds up my street. So, you know, as I say, it's a personal choice.
I
don't resent anyone.
She does resent someone.
Do resent a developing studio, but purely because of what they have done since the games I liked came out. I used to really like a lot of Activision games, and then Activision were horrible. They treated all their employees terribly, and even now, when we're seeing some improvement, I still look at Activision with a sense of disdain. It will take a lot, an active and very transparent improvement on their part for me to ever be like, I think they're a great game development studio, because we all know how they treat their staff, especially their female presenting staff. So yeah, Activision, they're in my bad books.
Yeah, there was a time where, you know, they were one of the big publishers and they were putting out some good stuff. Like if you go back, particularly like to the PS2 sort of era, there's a bunch of games that I enjoy on PS2 that were published by Activision. I couldn't necessarily name specific ones off the top of my head, but it was just a logo that you'd see and you'd go, oh yeah, them. And Ubisoft as well. You used to go, oh yeah, Ubisoft. And now they're not that anymore. And that's a shame.
Yeah. I think part of it comes with growing up. Like you obviously become more aware of stuff as you grow
that's
up.
True.
But I do think that, like, you know, even potentially in the last 5-6 years, obviously before everything came out, I think I'd still look at Activision and be like, wow, they make some great games. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing great things. And then like this happened and I was like, oh.
I'm also annoyed that they keep resigning Spyro to be Crash DLC.
Yeah.
Past three appearances from Spyro have been in Crash Bandicoot games.
Mm-hmm. I don't, I never really liked them. So this is sort of bending the question slightly, but I definitely resent the Embracer Group.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hate those guys.
They get my resentment. And similar wavelength, but not resenting, again, too strong of a term. Probably Epic for Fortnite and the knock-on effect that that's had to have for how so many games are made now, you know, try to adopt that model. Fortunately, as you said, like it's starting to stop now, hopefully. But they're purely for the same reason you spoke of From Software and how their model has been adopted by lots of other people.
Yeah.
The Fortnite model, you cannot deny its success. Mm. It's understandable why other people would want it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So, yeah.
Okay.
Next one, please, Peter.
It's from...
Samuel Benson.
Son.
Who says, you can get a full ground-up remake of any PS2, Xbox, GameCube, or Dreamcast-era game. What are you choosing? Full ground-up remake.
SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain.
Very quick, that one.
Yeah. It's because I think a lot of other, like when we were talking about Time Splitters the other day, because that would have been a go-to answer for me at one time.
Yeah.
And us coming to the realization that actually, if a Time Splitters game came out now, it would probably feel very dated. And I'm concerned that even if it was remade and improved upon, it would still feel really dated.
You would either lose the spirit of it to make it not feel dated, or if you retained the spirit, it would feel dated. So you can't really have both.
Whereas Here Comes the Pain, in my personal belief, is a near flawless arcadey wrestling game that is just really fun and satisfying to play. And all they'd have to do is just make it look really nice, yeah. Which they definitely have the technology to do.
I don't know.
Well, I've mentioned Star Wars and Spyro already, so I'll just say Beyond Good and Evil as well. While we're here, just get the full bingo card in. But, I mean, that's an obvious choice. I'm going to, like, think of another one as well, because that's, of course, I would say that. But
I'll throw out a few for you, Ashton. Mm. How about Nintendogs? How about Herbs?
Nintendogs wasn't on...
How about My Sims?
Herbs.
My Sims is a Wii game.
So?
And that game did flip and slap. But not My Sims. I liked My Sims Agents.
My Sims Agents. Right.
I would, if I had access to a Wii and I still had that game, I would play that game all the time. I have such fond memories of that game. And I don't think it needs a remaster because I think it's perfect as it is.
Yeah, see, that's the
and
thing.
And it's still
that's
on the Wii,
struggling.
So it's still like, it's not that far back that it's like... If they just if they brought
still be nostalgic for you, though.
Yeah, if they brought it to the Switch, brilliant. But it doesn't look bad. I mean, like it right, doesn't okay. have it. Does the graphics don't feel dated because they're stylized mm-hmm, in a way mm-hmm. that kind of doesn't look dated. And I just think they're great. I don't know if I ever played My Sims. I think maybe I played My Sims Kingdoms.
Yeah, we had that one. I remember that one. Yeah.
What about the Simpsons Hit and Run?
Oh, that's a good.
Yeah. That was like really well done. They could, I mean, if they really wanted to do a ground up remake and like innovate on it quite a lot, they could just make one giant Springfield map rather than several.
Well,
people love that game.
Here's the thing. Mm. I've already shouted about the virtues of this series on one of my streams recently, and you may well have caught an episode or two.
I think we talked about it on a podcast.
Oh, possibly, yeah. But I'll say it again. Yeah. There's a YouTube channel, a guy called Rubes, R-E-U-B-S, and he's I want to say an Unreal developer. He might mm-hmm. be a Unity, I'm not
he's
sure.
He's Unreal.
He's an Unreal developer, and he's got a series where he remade from the ground up The Simpsons Hit and Run. He imported some files, but like he got all the art redone, and he like had to code everything. It's really interesting.
Answer.
So you should go watch that series. Mm-hmm.
I would like to remake the original God of Wars.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it would be really fun to play those. I know they're obviously a very different vibe than the modern God of Wars.
Yeah.
But I think it would be interesting to see the Spartan and Greek world in the same way that we've seen the Norse.
Okay, yeah. So sort of like single shot over the shoulder kind of thing.
Well, it doesn't have to change like, the whole vibe of the game. I just mean like it would be nice to have like updated controls and right. graphics mm-hmm. and like see Kratos in these worlds
He's
in
so
higher
cross.
Detail.
I know? Agree. It'd be good to have quality of life improvements for those games because I've been back to try and play them not so long ago, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and I couldn't really get through them. And it's partly just because they're hack and slash. And generally, that's not the kind of thing that I want to do. I don't want to sit there grinding through loads and loads of enemies unless it's a game that I have a particular fondness for. Because I'll make an exception for like Dark Alliance because I played it as a kid. But really, that is just a game where you mash the attack button for 8 hours and then it roll credits. And I kind of felt the same a little bit with God of War, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Mm. Excellent. Good one.
Hat.
I always relish an opportunity to talk about My Sims Agents. I think it didn't get the respect it deserved.
Well, that's why it needs the remake from the ground up.
Man, maybe I'll play that game on stream. I love
it. You should.
Do it.
You should. We got the tech at work for you to emulate.
Yeah.
So you can
borrow. I don't know if it was on anything else. It might have been. I'm not sure. David Lever says, you live in a new young adult dystopian novel where the video games are illegal, maybe called something like Reality Bites, Game Over. That's a good name.
Okay.
What would you do? Pander to the state, lead the resistance, or just read instead?
Lead the resistance?
Yeah.
I think David grossly overestimates how much we don't want a quiet life.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I would go against like a kind of a dictatorship with probably some really like brutal police, martial law or whatever. I mean, we'd need to know the exact details of how this is enforced, but it sounds like it's a violent world. And I wouldn't miss video games that much that I would risk my life, I don't think, or my loved ones.
No. Mm. It's not, there's just games at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel I am the main character in life, so I would try and lead the resistance.
Of course you would. This is the same woman who agreed with Peter that you'd both just give up and die as soon as an apocalypse happened.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't give up and die, but I'm acutely aware that I would die.
Okay.
It's not that I would just lay there and let it happen, but I would die.
I was under the impression
I think
that
we have said that before.
I thought you'd both
agreed
that.
Maybe it's with an apocalypse beyond Zombies? A certain point, like a zombie apocalypse, where the world is irretrievable.
Yeah.
As opposed
to
one
where... I wouldn't just walk out into the zombies and let them kill me.
I mean, I wouldn't do that.
I'd try for a little bit, but I know full well that I would die. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of like, I'd let them kill me. I would die. There's no. I probably would just trip and fall down some stairs.
Yeah, probably would, you probably would.
Yeah. I'd lead the resistance.
You'd lead the resistance. You would lead the resistance so that you could play video games.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I wouldn't because it's not worth it for video games.
No.
But you're in a young adult dystopian novel. You have to be a character in the novel.
Well, I can just be the one that they go into like a cafe at some point and there's just...
Some guy's getting a milkshake.
There's a guy just enjoying a milkshake, not worrying about fighting the powers that be to play Spyro, you know?
I'd be the character who, you know, is trying to profit off the situation and like invests in, for example, a library or something instead, like knowing that people can't play games
anymore. Black market
anymore.
Book dealer.
Yeah, well, it didn't have to be black market. I can just have a nice like storefront on the high street selling books or films if they're legal, you know? Just go into some other form of media and entertainment.
I'd create Flappy Bird, but in real life.
In real life.
Yeah, like someone would get to go and you'd pretend to hold the controller and then you'd look at your friends. Someone's jumping over a pipe and then going under a pipe and jumping over a pipe. That's what I'd do.
Okay, so Nightmare then.
Yeah. No, you'd have choices. We'd all take turns.
No, the TV show Nightmare is what it sounds
where
like.
Where am I?
Ashton wasn't born.
I don't know what you're talking
Take
about.
Take two steps to
Thanks
the left.
Thanks so much for bringing up another TV show that I don't know what you're talking about.
It's right. You just thought I said a nightmare.
Yeah. I thought you thought nightmare. That I wasn't ever going to let them not be Flappy Bird in real life.
No, it's okay. We can take turns.
Do you think that would be legal under the rules of, you know,
well,
because that's
not
an actual,
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just playing a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. You guys ready for the next question?
Yes.
A bit thrown by having to role play a youth novel star. Retro Robin says, hi, Bap.
Hello.
Hi.
Felt like a good opportunity for a silly festive question. You wake up on Christmas morning to Santa standing at the foot of your bed, shotgun in hand, axe strapped across his back, and grenades neatly fixed to the utility belt that Mrs. Claus lovingly made for him. He tells you that the world outside is filling with zombies.
Oh, God.
And he needs you as his trusty sidekick. He says he will use his Christmas magic and turn you into a gaming character of your choice. Who do you become and what is the plan of action? Doom Guy, that's it. Retro Robin, Doom Guy.
Doom Guy. Do I cease to exist or do I just inhabit the traits of this person?
You become a My Sim. Agent.
A line of energy moves down you, and as it passes, you're suddenly wearing the outfit as it goes down.
And it's all the skills.
It's like a TikTok wipe filter thing where something changes.
Thank you for putting it in TikTok terms. I wouldn't understand it otherwise.
You feeling a bit patronized, Ashton? I'm getting the sense that you feel a bit patronized.
All that happens is you gain a costume. You otherwise look identical, but then you have all the skills,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd go for Cloud. He'd be pretty useful and he has a massive sword.
He does. So, would you get his bike as well?
Oh, I hope so. If I've got all the visibility and stuff, yeah, probably. Maybe Cloud I'd go for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse. I'd be tempted by someone like Leon S. Kennedy.
That's a good one.
I kind of feel like he's
Not
immortal
Chris,
as well. No, I mean, I don't know. I just like Leon the most. But, like, I kind of feel like Leon will never, ever die.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably will one day. But
he
like,
died a lot when I played as him.
He's been bit by a lot of zombies, so he probably has immune to it.
Yeah, how much neck can that man have left?
I don't know.
A lot of chomps, doesn't it?
Yeah. Although, that being said, he has been through some probably excruciatingly painful experiences where spikes have gone through his limbs and... you know, he's been injected with stuff and...
He's been subjected to a lot of hazardous working environments like chemicals and stuff. Yeah. He's definitely going to develop some sort of respiratory disorder. Yeah.
There are various like unavoidable
early 60s
cutscene moments where a knife goes in his shoulder or whatever. Yeah. And I would have to experience that probably. So
yeah.
don't
he's
know.
He's got chronic pain.
Maybe I would be Stubbs the zombie from the Xbox game, because then I'm a zombie. Maybe they won't attack me.
Oh.
But then Santa might kill you because
you're a zombie. Yeah, he might, actually. Yeah. Someone else might kill me as well. Yeah, yeah.
So I can't believe I wasted my Christmas magic on this. Mm. I've just made another zombie.
Mm. Yeah.
Doom Guy is a really good shout, though.
I think Doom Guy would be pretty unstoppable in that environment. He's like made.
And also, wherever he goes, the music plays.
Oh, there's just Mick Gordon floating behind him.
Yeah. And you can run really fast, and everything's a bit slippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the POV just bobs like this. Yeah. Love it. That's it. That would be my choice.
It's a good suggestion.
Thank you, Retro Robin.
That was you, was it, Ben?
It was.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Got another question here.
Go
from
on.
Oh, it's a chunky one.
A chunker.
It's from Bartek Kibitza, who says, Bap, bap, it's the sound of fireworks again. There's a New Year's party. The guests are having a great time. And then an uninvited guest, video game character, arrives.
Oh.
Drunk, babbling, and picks up uncle. Full stop. What?
Huh?
Drunk, babbling, and picks up uncle.
No.
Picks up my uncle. Put my uncle down, video game character.
However, luckily, there is another character at the party, a very great one, true hero, who can deal with the intruder. Who are these characters, and how will the situation be resolved? Mm. Yours, last year, this year's, and forevermore, Bartek.
Ah, thanks, Bartek.
Thank you, Bartek.
Thank you, Bartek.
So we've got to come up with the character who came in drunk, and the character who...
Saves
sort
the
him
day.
Out.
Yeah, who's coming drunk
and picked up uncle? Who is drunk and also capable of? Is it? Are they physically lifting uncle, or are they trying to like chat up uncle?
I guess that's interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah. I assumed he was lifting him.
Yeah, I did as well.
You assume it was a man then?
Hmm.
You assumed it was a man. Women could lift your uncle.
Yeah, he could.
You said he lifted.
I don't have any uncles. No women can lift my uncles.
I have so many uncles.
Yeah, me too.
Who do I want to come in drunk? Who do I want to have at my party who's like a hero, first and foremost?
I feel like, for me personally, if the person I'm imagining in the role of like, okay, that's enough, get out, you've had enough, is Joel from The Last of Us. He's got grumpy dad energy who wouldn't put up with that.
I was thinking that exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, put him get out of here right now. Yeah. And then, you know, if you need it, he's like the Ron Swanson of gaming.
Yeah.
He'd give him a punch if he needed to, but otherwise he'd be like, go now.
And I think potentially someone who, if they had a bit too much to drink and were just feeling a bit merry... His video game cousin Nathan Drake. I think he could come in and try and
Nathan Drake would try
just sort of teasingly
lift
like lift someone just round the waist, you know, like, a bit. I don't mean over his head.
Look
but
what
like,
I can do.
Hey, come on, it's New Year's.
What about God, I can't even remember what he's called now. Neo Cortex as the drunkard who comes in.
He couldn't lift anyone.
You don't think? He doesn't have a rave for
tiny.
That.
He's got a little gun. With a little gun. Yeah, he could do that.
I think Crash Bandicoot would come in drunk. I think he's a bit of a liability.
I think drunk Crash Bandicoot would be terrifying.
Yeah.
I'd be really scared to be in a room with drunk.
He keeps jumping on things looking for... fruit.
Spinning really fast.
Stop
it. You're knocking over all the aperitif.
I'm trying to think of famously drunk video game characters, but...
There's a fighter, isn't there, in Tekken, maybe? Am I thinking correctly?
No, there's one. There's one in
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat who can like he like breathes like he like lights his burps and stuff, and he's all gross
he's sort
and horrible,
of swaying
and
about. And,
yeah.
You got Thor from God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, Thor was a good shout,
right?
And he's massive.
Oh, maybe what's the Daedric Prince of Madness called? Sheogorath.
Okay, yeah.
He would be chaotic at parties.
He would be terrifying.
He'd be waving
well
Wabberjack everywhere and turning people into sheep.
I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't want to be at that party
anymore.
That would be terrible.
I don't like it.
No.
Yeah. I think if I was going to have a hero at my party, I'd pick like who I really want, and I'd want Aloy to come to my party.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, I've got this, babe. And then she'd go and sort out.
And then she'd come back in and you would kiss.
Yeah, and we would kiss.
As the fireworks went off.
Yeah.
It would be a perfect moment.
Of course.
Getting your good 2024 off to a fantastic start.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Right.
Solved that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Fixed it.
Thank you.
Pick up Uncle.
Put him down. Hey. Thank you. Hello. Brett Moore. Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
What's your favourite snow / ice level in all of gaming? Mario 64's Penguin Race always comes to mind. A game.
There's a good one in Halo 1 that I like, where you get to fly a Banshee for the first time in the game, I think. I think that's the first time you get to do it. And
are those big ice caves? Is that one or is that a later level?
There are some, big ice caves and like cliffs and stuff, and there's some interior buildings and things. And then you come out and you have to fly a ship, which is fun. And it's the first time in the whole series you get to fly one. And then later on they become, you know, 10 a penny flying stuff all the time. But that's like a real treat the first time you get to do it, because you've fought them many times through the game up to that point, or a few times anyway. And it's like, what, really? I can get in one? Wow. That's fun.
I think that the snow globe level in It Takes Two is really fun. I struggle to think of games with like levels, because I don't very often play games where it's like, this level is fire, this level is snow. But It Takes Two has a really cool like icy, snowy area where you're in... Excuse me.
Click.
Where you're
thought
in
it was
like...
Your chair.
No, it was my jaw. Where you're in like an old... Like, it's like Swedish looking town where all of that log cabins and everything's covered in snow and you're ice skating around. I think that's quite a nice snowy level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've spoken about our Christmas games before, like favorite Christmas levels and stuff. So I'm trying not to retread similar ground there, but I do love the Borderlands 2 DLC, how Marcus saved Mercenary Day. I like that whole little self-contained Christmassy town. With the raid boss in it and the silly little story and the train that comes through and just gives you loads of guns and stuff. That's great. There are definitely some Spyro icy levels that that I enjoyed. Or didn't, actually, because they always end up having the worst mini games, don't they? Mm-hmm. Like the one with the hockey.
Yeah.
The hockey's awful. Hate the hockey mini game.
Well, the ice level in the first game is good because it doesn't have awful mini games in it and it's got really good music. And it's got some fun enemies. So, Ice Cavern, that one's called. To avoid, I was avoiding one that I've mentioned before, but I also like the one Everlasting Day until you go to sleep in Bully, where everything is snowy, people wearing Christmas hats and jumpers and stuff. You can go and smash up snowmen, and the entire world gets reskinned and like the special content just for that day. If you get detention, instead of mowing the lawn, you have to go and snuffle show. You have to go to the snuffle show and sit and watch it and applaud. So that's a good one, but we've talked about it before.
Getting a lot of Christmas related questions, aren't we? We probably should have been clearer that this podcast is not Christmas.
I said New Year's in the title.
Some people did New Year's.
Hey, it's all right,
it's all good. We're still in that period, aren't we?
We're allowed.
And it's cold.
This is a question from Chris McVeigh. You've been sent back in time 30 years, and it's time for you to pick a side in the first great console war, Nintendo or Sega?
Oh. I mean, something that I think about Nintendo a lot is that I don't quite have FOMO, but I feel like there's loads of Nintendo stuff that people get really excited for, and I just don't feel any excitement for it at all because I don't have that heritage behind me of like having played all these series and stuff. And I know I could sit down and just start them and join them from this point on and probably have a really good time. Especially stuff like Legend of Zelda. I cannot speak today. I'm sure there's like a lot more that I've missed out on over the years that if I'd been there from the start, Nintendo would probably be the best one to go for in that sense, because Sega, at the moment, not necessarily putting out the same amount of stuff. But we've got those remakes or masters coming soon. Yeah.
Reboots.
Yeah, reboots, in fact, yeah.
And they bring us the Persona games, which is nice, yeah, too. They publish them for us.
I guess I'm sort of inclined to say Nintendo because I never had a Sega console and I haven't played that many Sega games, but I definitely have played a lot of Nintendo games and I have had a lot of Nintendo consoles. And like my first console was a Wii, so there's that fact that people get very upset about.
hey, get over it, guys.
Yeah, hey.
People aren't all born at the same time.
Yeah, we weren't all born in 1980.
If I was going back 30 years, I was not even a sparkle in my mother's eye at that point. So
I think this phrase is father's eye, isn't it?
Is it? Right? I don't know. Either way, whose neither of them knew father? I was coming.
What?
Let's just move on. Let's just move on.
A sparkle. You said... I think it's Fraser's father's eye, isn't it?
I think the phrase.
The phrase is father's eye, but he said Fraser's. I think it's Fraser's father's
right.
eye.
What yeah,
that's what was said.
Me
there.
Too.
Nintendo.
What would you pick? Nintendo, yeah?
I guess, yeah.
I'd probably go Sega just because.
You
want
to be different?
Yeah, definitely. It was like, at the time, it was within gaming, a bit of a cultural revolution. Like,
yeah.
Look at these new edgelords on the scene, and I wanted to be one of the edgelords. And also, maybe then, I would understand even a tiny bit why people like Sonic the Hedgehog. Although people have been born since and still love Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, there's been hedgy-wedgies since then.
It's the one series, it's one of the very few series of games that I just do not understand.
Well, but
and
also,
all the power to you for loving it, but maybe if I was around in the Sega times, I would have done.
They had the sickest burns, though.
They did have the
Sega
sickest.
Sega do what Nintendo don't.
Sega
yeah,
does.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You're right that you probably would have enjoyed it if you played it back then, but I think there are also lots of people who were born then and played it then and enjoyed it then who don't like Sonic anymore because can see what it's become. But on the other hand, there are a bunch of people who've never let go, even through the very worst that it's been through.
It's so
let
thick.
Yeah.
May you enjoy your Sonic games.
Yeah.
But that might have given me
you
a better standing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all hedgy-wedgies here at Team Triple Jump.
Yeah. Oh,
blimey.
All bossaroos, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Richard Major, who says, what are your channel goals for 2024? Well, it'll be obviously very nice to hit 300,000 subscribers, which we're very close to. I think all being well, we should hit that within certainly the first half of the year, if not the first quarter.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
But what else?
Maybe another SMTJ live.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice one to do.
Yeah.
Firmly establish some new shows that we've introduced this year and will have introduced by now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got scripts written and things ready to go. So hopefully just like a really steady stream of high quality opinion-based content and sort of documentary type formats and things like that that you guys will really enjoy.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's necessarily a channel thing, but I think I'd quite like us, or at least some of us, to head down to a conference or something go to something in person, because it's been a while since I think any of us have been to one. So it'd be nice to be at either an EGX or a Gamescom or something and have a good time and maybe meet some people, some of you guys. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be fun this year.
Yeah, that's likely to happen. I think we've talked about doing that.
Yeah, we've been trying to make it happen for a while. Especially as far as EGX goes, it's not very good anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. There was a really good long run that they had where it was the event to go to in the UK, and they had things that you could play before anyone else. And that has simply not been the case since the pandemic. Like this year just gone, I know lots of people use it as a community focused event and like for meeting up and playing some games and messing about with retro stuff, looking at the games market and things, going to talks and stuff. But they didn't have anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Every game that they had there for hands-on was already out.
Mm.
And for us, we need to make sure we can make the money back in, you know, by making videos that it would cost to send us to that sort of thing. And if they got nothing for us to cover that people...
Oh, hold and give. Oh, interesting.
That's not right.
What?
Our TV's just changed to Ross Twaddell's
Where's the remote?
Football.
Oh, it's by the camera.
Football channel holding give. But yeah, basically there's not really much there for us at the moment beyond meeting you guys and hanging out, which would obviously be lovely, but it don't pay bills.
Why did it skip to 36 minutes in?
I don't actually understand how that even happened.
Normally it loops, but
okay.
The loop button's been disabled. There was a... Anyway,
we'll do it. Oh, good. Weird. Well, there we are. But yes, going to an event would be really nice. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Also, I want to get a video game out next year. That would be good.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's a big channel goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we can. It's going to take a lot of work, but hopefully we'll be able to do it.
Yes.
Did you just ask that?
That was me. Yeah.
Beezus says, "Hi, Bap. I always struggle to think of a game of the year because I rarely play games when they come out, as I'm more into retro gaming and also rarely have £70 to throw away." Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I know you guys also often play/replay old games. So what is your game of the year that didn't come out this year?
Good question.
Beezus. Thank you, Beezus.
I have this issue a lot as well. Like, I don't struggle to think of a game of the year full stop because I do always play, you know, some games that came out in this year, but I do have a proclivity for playing older stuff, either replaying or even playing for the first time stuff from 10, 15 years ago. So yeah, but what game did I play this year?
I have two. I really, really enjoyed Hellblade, which I played this year for the first time. That game is brilliant, and had it not come out in previous years, probably would have been up there in my top five for sure. That or Spiritfarer. I had a great time with that game, and it's really beautiful and it's really well done and the story's really interesting. So probably either of those two would be my games of the year.
Nice. There was, I feel like there was definitely something that I was playing through this year. God, recently it was Oblivion.
Right.
But I've played it before, obviously, but I've really enjoyed playing through Oblivion again. So maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I swear there's something else that I was playing. I can't remember what it is, though. It's gone out of my brain.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I've played anything old for the first time, because there's plenty of stuff I've played this year from back in the day.
But he didn't say it has to be something you've not played before.
No, he didn't. Because if we do limit ourselves to that, it'll probably have to be something like Code Veronica, which is not... That might be one of the only games that I've played for the first time from not this year, potentially.
Mm. There's definitely something that I've played other than Oblivion, but I can't think of it right now. I refuse to believe that I've only played games that came out this year.
You haven't.
There's got to be something else, but my brain is blank. I'm just having a quick scroll through the PlayStation app there to see what popped up, because I do predominantly play on PlayStation, but it may well have been on another platform. I don't know. Oh, no, I can't remember.
I enjoyed replaying all the way through Soul Calibur 2 this year. That was only recently. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like there must have been something more, but I replayed, I mean, this is a very much a cheat answer, but I did replay the original version of Resident Evil 4 this year, and that is, what's gone on here?
My microphone just turned itself around.
Oh no. And I, there we go. And that is one of my favorite games of all time, but that feels like a very cheeky answer because I've played it many, many times, and it has long been one of my favorites, but maybe Soul Calibur.
I'm going for another question. And this question comes from our guess. That's right, it's Jacko1312. Good guess. Hey, Bap. What was one game this year that didn't live up to your expectations and one game that exceeded them? Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
A game that didn't live up to our expectations and one that exceeded it.
Well, mine that didn't live up to it, and again, it was my personal experience of the game, was Jedi Survivor, unfortunately, because I wasn't like hugely looking forward to it, because Ben and I have talked before about how we weren't super keen on the first one, but I certainly thought, I'll have a good time with it. I like the franchise and the universe, so I'm going to have a good time. And I only barely just had a good time, unfortunately. I had a good time in spite of issues.
I have one, but it didn't come out this year. Actually, I have two.
Go on.
The first one that didn't come out this year is Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
I had low expectations of that game and it still didn't meet them. It's now been uninstalled and I will never play that game again. That game is crap. categorically. Another game that didn't, I don't know what expectations I had, but it just kind of didn't really click with me and I just didn't really get on with it, was Immortals of Avium or Avium.
Avium, yeah.
That game was fine and I think it had a really interesting premise, but like the gameplay was just kind of boring. It was just guns, but it's magic and it's not very, it wasn't very interesting in terms of like the way that it played. And I just didn't get on with it very much. So that kind of did not hit my expectations of that game. I went into it with like an open mind and was interested by the story, but I just couldn't really get into it that much. So
it's a shame. Mm. I can think of two games that exceeded my expectations, but I can't think of any that did not, that under-delivered for me personally.
Right.
One of them is Gotham Knights, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. I went into that with the expectations of Ashton's experience that she's recently had with it. Mm. And I found myself really pleasantly surprised. And I still recognize all of its flaws, but as a game that I was just sort of chipping away at on my own, I was clearly just like in the perfect headspace for a game like that, and I enjoyed the story and ended up getting the platinum trophy, and I ended up on reflection having a good time with it. There's a lot wrong with it, but I do think people owe it to themselves to maybe give it a go, especially if it's on like a if you have a subscription service, and then at least you'll know pretty early on if you feel the way I do or you feel the way Ashton does, so you won't need to stick around and play it for too long. And the other one is Alan Wake 2. That is a game I went into with the expectations of my experience of Control and Alan Wake 1, and also this just unbearable hype factor that was there as well. And I finished it the other week, and it was really good. There are problems with it. It's not perfect, but I was, as someone who was coming into it with a hypercritical sort of perspective, I really enjoyed it.
Another game that actually failed to live up to my expectations, and I wasn't going in with like as many high hopes as other people were, but even with that, Starfield.
Starfield underperformed for me.
And I knew going in, I could kind of tell from the trailers and stuff that I was like, this isn't going to be a new Elder Scrolls for me or a new Fallout. It's not going to be that, but I will probably still have a good time. And it just did not click with me at all. I didn't understand it. But one that exceeded my expectations, again, didn't go into it thinking that this isn't going to be good. I knew I would enjoy it, but it blew me away, was Spider-Man. I enjoyed the previous Spider-Man games, and I was going into this one knowing I would have a good time, but I didn't think it would necessarily be a contender for my number one game of the year. Whether it was or wasn't, we'll find out in a different podcast. But I thought it would be sort of top five. It's going to be good, and it was fantastic.
I can't think of one that exceeded my expectations, because normally I get really excited for games and they either don't meet my expectations or they're exactly as I anticipated. Right. But I can't think of one that I've played where I've been like, wow, this is much better than I thought it was going to be.
Baldur's Gate 3?
Baldur's Gate 3, I guess, yeah. I think I didn't think it was going to be bad,
yeah.
But having seen everyone play it, I think I was like, oh, this is like good. But I've been really enjoying that game. So yeah, definitely Baldur's Gate 3 is probably up there in terms of like, I think for everyone though, I think it exceeded everyone's expectations. I don't think anyone was expecting it to be how it is.
Did Senua exceed your expectations as well going into it?
I guess I didn't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was a matter of like, oh, it didn't meet my expectations or overwhelm it. I didn't really know. I knew much like some stuff about it, but I didn't know enough about it to have like a formed opinion of like, I was like, I've heard it's good. Let's see what that's about. And then went into it, but I didn't have necessarily, I never set my sights on like, I'm going to finish this game. I was like, let's give it a go and see what it's all about. So it wasn't necessarily, I guess it did, but not just playing because I didn't have any expectations.
I'm probably playing Baldur's Gate 3 around about now by the time this podcast goes out. And I suspect it's also exceeding my expectations. And I know about how much people love it as well, but from everything I've heard, I think people are really loving it, even when they're going in expecting high things, big things.
Yeah.
One more question each.
Sure. Yeah.
Was that you then?
That was me.
Okay.
Europe.
It's from David Lever. Should I maybe throw it back in? Or
We have had a David Lever. Yeah, let's see if we can get three fresh names out of the hat.
Sorry, David.
Thank you for submitting the question.
Thank you, David. Frederick Jensen, I don't think we've had.
No.
Hi, Bap. What is your dream game like?
Oh.
Dream game. That's a big question.
My dream game is a co-op first-person adventure. It can be third-person. That option, those are not limited. It can be either. A story-based, like, narrative game in which your characters are integral to the story and appear in cutscenes, and they can open doors separately if they want to. There's just, like, I don't have a necessarily, like, an idea in mind. I love a post-apocalypse that's happened years and years and years ago, and the Earth has reclaimed the cities. I think that's so fun and so interesting. I don't mind it being set on Earth. That's fine. Can be set in the past or the future. Don't mind. And I quite like a shooter, but with various weapons. I don't like being stuck to, like, you have a pistol or such and such. So yeah, that's what I want. And it has to be co-op because I want to play with my friends.
Please. I know you didn't like Uncharted in the end, but Uncharted 2 had a handful of multiplayer online co-op missions, which were, I think, like three player. And I remember those being really good.
Yeah.
I don't imagine they were in the remaster, though, because I don't think it had any multiplayer, which is a shame. But yeah, something like that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You got a dream game in mind?
It is so hard to express an ideal game.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what I don't want it to have.
No, what features would you, if you saw, like, if there was a checkbox of features... Okay. Of, like, what you wanted.
Like, I can think of, like, the thing that I'm struggling with is, like, I can think of a few different groups of features. Like, I can think of a good platformer game that I would like to play, and a good, like, third-person action-adventure game, and a good, you know, even maybe a good, like, sandbox game or a driving game. But, yeah, it's then hard to choose, like, what to give as my one answer.
Mm. Yeah. I can tell you what my old dream was, which was literally just co-op Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's what I always thought would be so cool. And I'm not interested in the MMO, The Elder Scrolls Online, because it's not the same. But like just having two people existing in the same game world at the same time, and you can stick with each other, maybe some more features to keep you going and stuff. But essentially, because I know Baldur's Gate, a lot of people will point at Baldur's Gate and say that. And as much as there is so much going for Baldur's Gate, it is very Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And something perhaps a little more streamlined. And Larian, obviously, I don't feel like I should have to explain my reasoning here, but Larian obviously have done an amazing job of streamlining the experience for players to make it really fun and engaging, and everyone loves it, and that's great. But something like an Elder Scrolls, but two-player, would be super cool, and I would love that. And you know, the setting could be anything really. You could do Fallout as well. I'm finding it really hard to pinpoint a specific thing that I would want as a dream game.
Yeah,
but it can't have any DLC or live service stuff. It should just be, here's the game.
Yeah,
buy it or don't.
Mm-hmm. I would really like something that's kind of a I've talked before about this as a setting that we don't see enough, but I would like to see a combination of something like The Order 1886 and Assassin's Creed Syndicate, that kind of like late Victorian, like, but kind of like moody, maybe a little bit Bloodborne as well. Not even fantasy necessarily, but just like dark and foggy and spooky. All of that as a setting, but from a more kind of Naughty Dog single player third person design, not filled with, I wouldn't want the world to be too big. I would like it to be like an open world London, but not so big that it then has to be filled with a load of Ubisoft like map markers.
Surrey's not there as well.
No, Surrey's not there. Just central London, maybe. The square mile or whatever, but not filled with a load of like Ubisoft padding, you know, just like a world you can explore in third person with some really fun like set pieces, and it's a bit spooky, and maybe you're like after a serial killer or something like that. Just not filled with fluff, because that's the thing. There've been a few good Victorian Londons, but they're either super linear or they're open, and then they're just filled with just rubbish. That, you know, I'd like something in between.
Mm.
Nice. Hat.
Thanks. I want...
Which one are you going to get?
This one. Wow. It's a name we've not had today. Cormoran Strike. We've not had from Cormoran today, have we?
No.
This is a Christmas one again. What's your favourite Christmas-related gaming memory / best Christmas gaming gift you've ever got?
We've definitely answered this question
before.
We have,
but we can answer it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine is, I think, I got a PlayStation 2 for Christmas in the early 2000s. I think it was maybe about a year after the console had come out in the UK. And with it, I don't know if it was bundled or bought separately, but I also got a copy of Tekken Tag Tournament. It was Christmas morning. I got a big box of wine gums as well in my stocking. And I went upstairs after opening presents. We were waiting for the family to come round. And I sat and I played Tekken and I was taking massive handfuls of wine gums. And now still, when I play Tekken Tag, I think of wine gums. And sometimes when I eat wine gums, I think of Tekken Tag Tournament. So that was a good day. Good morning.
I think the Christmas I got my Nintendo DS Lite pink. It was pink. And I got Nintendogs. And I think we both got one of my dad's dodgy mates, like Edge cards or whatever they were called.
Oh, yeah.
R4
cards.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think we got that. And then after we'd opened all of our presents and we'd gone and got dressed, because you can't have Christmas lunch if you're not dressed, we just sat down there playing various games on my DS. And I think me and my sister just spent loads of time just sending each other messages in the, like, the chat.
Picto chat. Yeah.
Just, like, drawing pictures and, like, sending messages. And then a few Christmases later, my cousins also got a DS as well. So there was the four of us, and my cousins were, like, quite a lot younger than us. And they would just send, like... They'd be like, can we all message each other on PictoChat? And I'd be like, yeah, all right. So we'd get our DSs back out and we'd all be just sending each other messages on PictoChat.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I told you that time that I found one of the fat launch DSs in a bush.
Mm.
And I like put up posters around the village,
yeah,
seeing if anyone had lost it. And then no one had, so I kept it.
Mm.
I used to open PictoChat and just put stuff in there. And no one ever replied because there was no one else with a DS. And I was just like, I was sending crude drawings of willies just out into the world.
But I also think you had to be in a room. So I think you couldn't, like, you had to either be on the same internet or something so that, like...
It's all proximity based.
Yeah.
I just wish that, you know, someone out there would have replied.
Maybe just on one day, maybe someone was like driving past the house and they received just one willy.
Just a willy.
And they didn't have time to type someone back.
No.
Sad.
You shouldn't be doing picto chat and driving.
No.
That's passenger.
Yeah, a child in the... What's your favourite Christmas memory?
Oh, yeah. God, I was too busy talking about
willies. Silly willies.
Completely forgot. It was definitely teal Game Boy Color, Pokemon Blue, and then just sitting there and playing it on the sofa. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting stuck in Viridian Forest because I got all the way to the end of Viridian Forest, but I was still, at that young age, learning sort of the rules of video games, like how they communicate certain things to you. So the exit to the forest wasn't a door like some of the houses I'd been into so far.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a black void with two tiny little sprite arrows on the floor. And it took me ages to work out that I had to walk into the void to leave the forest because I didn't, that, you know, at that point, I didn't have game logic, the thing that we take for granted and that makes it so difficult for people who are new to games to really grasp what's going on outside of, you know, working out how to use a controller and control the camera at the same time as movement. It's like there's a whole unwritten language that video games speak that you just sort of know.
Yeah.
And it's weird to when you take it out of context. So there, I didn't know how to get out of the forest. But I did eventually.
Yeah.
And I did it. And that's what I did on Christmas Day.
I remember one Boxing Day I'd been given, it was like a wee dance game. I think it was called like Dance on Broadway or something. It was a musicals one. And my cousins and my aunties were around and we all played Dance on Broadway. And it was my mum and me. And my mum would get so mad because she'd be going like all out, like doing all the movements. And then we'd obviously be doing it small, but like in time. And she'd be like, I don't understand why they're getting more points than me. I'm putting in more effort. What's going on?
Because it's crap and it doesn't work properly.
She was doing all the leg movements and I'm like, why are you moving your legs? It's only the arm. She'd get so mad. Mm-hmm. I remember just on Boxing Day, like, everyone would just take it in turns to just dance along to a song from a musical and get angry that the kids were not doing it properly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Final question.
Last one then. Make it a good one.
Who's going to be the last person? It is... Cameron Keywood.
Yes.
What game is the Lynx Africa of gaming? Everyone has it, but doesn't use it.
Oh.
Doesn't use... Well, if it was just everyone has it, it would surely be Wii Sports, right?
Back
everyone
in the day.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
But everyone used it.
Yeah, we did all use it.
I mean, contemporary-wise, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
Everyone has it.
But again, used it at the time when they first got it.
A lot of people still use it, but I think most people
would use Lynx Africa with the first time they got Lynx Africa. They would use Lynx Africa and now they don't.
Same with Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has Skyrim. I think that any example we give that fits this mold, people will have played it and there will still be a sizable player base.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think there are more owners of Skyrim, more owners of Grand Theft Auto V than players.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah,
that doesn't extend to Minecraft, though, because Minecraft's, it's just still
very popular.
So popular.
Yeah.
Mm. I played it the other day, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be playing it, well, we will have played it on our final sleepover stream of the year.
Yeah, even weeks. More Minecraft. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I think obviously GTA and Skyrim are very obvious answers because like, see, everyone has it on something mm-hmm. at least. But, I mean...
In terms of something that no one wants, but everyone has.
Yeah. I think everyone has, at some point, had, like, a pro controller or, like, a dodgy controller.
Yeah.
And then it's always been the one...
One.
Yeah. No. And then it's always been the one that you didn't want to play with. Yeah. Like, you'd always be like, oh, you get the... The see-through controller, that's yours.
The worst one was the ones that had a slow-mo button that you would accidentally nudge on the back, and all it would do is like pause and unpause the game like
what
on every
that even
frame.
For?
I don't know, just so you can watch it move.
Is that a slow-mo or turbo?
Or turbo, and turbo never seemed to do anything as far as I was aware.
Didn't really understand that one there.
No.
The only thing I can think of other than that, which is similar to, you remember when U2's album got put on?
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well, yeah.
Towards the end of the PS3's life cycle, Sony did a firmware update to the PS3 and SingStar was just put on the homepage and you couldn't delete it. It was like a SingStar hub.
Right.
So everyone had it. I mean, some people will have wanted it, but I imagine that most people were like, why is that there? Let me delete it. And you can't delete it.
What about what was the PS4 Astros game? Is that Astros Playroom? I was getting mixed up.
Astros, so what was the one on PS5? That was...
I think that was I don't think that wasn't Playroom. I think
Astros Playroom was
Astros
the PS4 Playroom. One.
Yeah, okay.
We all had that because it came bundled on the console, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or pre-installed, I think.
I can't remember. I don't think it was bundled.
Well, not bundled, but I think it was just on...
Because
I think
it's a tech demo, isn't it?
The PS5 one was, but I can't remember if the Playroom was actually.
Well, because I had it on mine and I don't think I would ever have chosen to download
But you didn't get it at launch, though, so
it
may have been added afterwards. I honestly can't remember now. It's been so bloody long.
It may not have been there at launch, but certainly I think a lot of people who bought PS4s later down the line ended up with Astro on that.
Shake the DualShock. Yeah. Can you feel him? Well, not feel him. Can you see him in there?
Mm.
Yeah. You had to swipe the touchpad.
Oh, no, Astro's Playroom was the PS5 sequel.
Oh, was it?
So what
Astrobot.
Astrobot Rescue.
Astrobot Rescue Mission is the VR one.
Hold on.
And then there's this. There's only three of them. I can't remember what they're called, though.
Astro's.
Is it not the Playroom?
The Playroom, maybe. Yeah.
I don't think it was Astro branded. I think it was just the Playroom.
But he was in it.
He was in it.
Yeah.
Before he was given a game.
Whereas Astro's Playroom on PS5, everyone has
it's
but
just
people,
called Playroom. The PS5 was Playroom. Astro's Playroom.
Okay,
yeah.
Playroom.
But the PS5 one, everyone had it, but actually quite a lot of people played it, I think,
so
at
good.
Launch, and it was really good.
Really good.
Yeah, and a good
really,
way to get, try out that controller for the first time.
SSD.
Yeah.
Great music,
isn't it? It's great music.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Found anything else about it?
No, just that the Rescue one was on VR.
Yes.
The first VR.
And was really good too. We need an Astrobot platformer, a proper one.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing that?
The only other thing actually that is Lynx Africa is when you get like the odd little random game in a Steam bundle that's not why you're buying the bundle.
Yeah.
You know? So anyone who is a kind of a regular Steam gamer, you probably have like a few little odds and ends on there that you didn't ask for.
Don't want it.
Yeah. Mm. Never launched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got so many of those on my Steam.
Well, there we are, everybody. This has been our little bonus podcast. Thank you very much to our patrons for submitting all those questions. Sorry if we didn't get around to your question.
Sorry.
But we encourage you to submit regular questions going forwards. Next episode will be our Game of the Year podcast, so we won't be taking questions from that. But we encourage you, if you are a patron, to submit your Game of the Year stuff in the relevant post that's on our Patreon right now, patreon.com/teamtriplejump, after which point you can submit news and stuff and we'll carry on.
Just
pick a
news
regular
story, submit it, and we'll probably talk. If it's one of the big ones
of the
year.
With a question.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on biggest news story of the week?
Yeah.
Be specific. Yeah. Don't just put that.
Yeah,
we need more than that.
Yeah.
There's loads of places you can find us around the internet. Peter's going to tell you a couple of them now.
You can find us at youtube.com and twitch.tv/teamtriplejump. All of our videos are on YouTube and almost all of our streams are on Twitch. Occasionally there's a little special one on YouTube, but mostly on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime, maybe you got it around Christmas so that you can get all those last minute presents delivered nice and quickly, and you've still got it hanging around. You've got a Twitch sub. It's in that bundle. You've already paid for it. So why not spend that on us? You'll get all the normal benefits of being a subscriber. We'll get all the money of you being a subscriber. Everyone's a winner.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. So come say hi on those. We have a Patreon, of course, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. We'll talk about that enough today, but hey, still there if you fancy going to it.
Yeah, go check it out. TripleJU.mp, that's TripleJR.mub, that's our website. You can find links to everything we do on there. And why not leave us a lovely New Year's 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate that. It would mean a lot. Just enough time, Ashton, to talk about the sponsor again, please.
Yes, of course. In the year of remastering games that only came out very recently, it is, of course, 2023 Remastered. Bigger, better, more swine flu, apparently.
And a roguelike.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for listening/watching all of this year, and we wish you a very safe and happy New Year's. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.